Hello, this is Dean Gocher. I'm founder and director of the Institution for Authority Research. I encourage you to trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not to your own understanding, and in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He's the one who directs your paths. That's Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. This is an audio of the issue, Satan's device. For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. 1 John 2, verse 16. Discussion is of the Father. Dialogue is of you. That's going to be the whole theme. The Marxist Kurt Lewin, who was an editor for the Frankfurt School's papers, or their magazine, a group of Marxists who came to the United States in the early 30s from Germany. They were started by men like George Lukács and Karl Korsch. Karl Korsch came to the States, sort of disappeared. Lukács went back to Russia. He started the first Marxist work week in Thuringia, Germany. The group ended up in Frankfurt, Germany. Hitler became chancellor. In the early 30s, they fled Fascist Germany, came to the States, entered our universities, directly impacting federal laws, and we are now living in the world. Kurt Lewin was key to all their work being successful. His identifying the difference between discussion and dialogue, and there is a world of difference. It's hard for us to see it because we're so used to mingling between the two that we don't realize they're totally separate. We have them both, but they're totally separate. So the Marxist, Kurt Lewin, knew the force of each and how to identify them, what he called force field analysis. And when it came to behavior, knew how to move people from the one, discussion, to the other, dialogue. That is, how to unfreeze, move, and refreeze them, especially through the use of the group, what he called group dynamics. That is, where the pleasure which comes from approval from others, because we all desire that, we all desire somebody to approve us, and the pain of rejection pressures a person to abandon discussion, in other words, what the Father says, for the sake of dialogue. You ever notice that? Commands and rules and facts and truth that interfere with relationship, you tend to suspend for the sake of the relationship. Well, that's the difference between discussion and dialogue. And this is done in order to initiate and sustain the change process. Well, we hear change all the time today. And it's because we've moved from discussion, which does not change, to dialogue, which is continuously changing. So discussion being the force of the Father, who has the final say, which is negative to your flesh. You notice that? When Dad says you can't go out and you want to go out, it tends to be negative. And dialogue being the force of the flesh, where the child or you have the final say, which is positive to your flesh. In other words, when you can go out when you want to go out, that's sort of a good thing in your mind. And so that's positive. Anytime you are in a meeting where you're told to be positive and not negative when it comes to behavior, now you know what it's all about. For the Marxists, or godlessness, where collectively everybody is God, to rule, discussion must be replaced with dialogue. That is, discussion must be negated in order, as in New World Order, for everyone to do wrong, to disobey, to sin, that is, to lust without being judged, condemned, or cast out, doing so without having a guilty conscience. When it comes to behavior, substituting discussion with dialogue, and I'll get to the definition of these terms in more specific, but just generally laying a groundwork here. Substituting discussion with dialogue, which we can do, That is what the Father says with our opinion. That is with you know what you know, and that's in caps, what you know from being told, how you feel and what you think that the world stimulates. Those are two different. Discussion is what you know from being told. Dialogue is your feelings and thoughts that the world stimulates. In other words, facts and feelings. These are caught with feelings. These are the opposites. Facts, you're going to substitute facts and replace it with feelings, making feelings facts. You're going to replace faith with sight. You're going to replace eternal life, the there and then, which comes from discussion because it's external to you, with the eternal present, the here and now, which is subjective. It is from you. Humbling and denying and dying to yourself, you're going to replace with living in the moment. If you do this, all you have to look forward to is dying in your sins, spending eternity not in the glory, peace, joy, and love of the Lord, but in the lake of fire that is never quenched, prepared for all who substitute what the Father says with the pleasures or lusts of the moment that the world stimulates. There's the difference. Dialogue goes with the flesh. Discussion goes with the Father. So I always start with all that's of the world. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life. Dialogue is not of the Father, who is discussion. In dialogue, you are God. In discussion, God is God. Now, Kurt Lewin understood this, and this is now being applied everywhere in our culture. And I'll explain. If dialogue, your lust, is made subject to discussion, in other words, if what Dad says rules over what you want to do, then you end up, nevertheless, thy will be done. Then God directs your steps. If discussion, what the Father says, is made subject to dialogue, what you want to do, in other words, the phrase, you can't tell me what I can or cannot do, then God is negated. He's negated in your thoughts, which directly affects your actions. While with God, discussion, doing the Father's will, is the only means of communication. I want to emphasize that. With God, there's only discussion. There's no dialogue. You don't dialogue before God. You don't go before God and say, I feel and I think. Come, let us reason together. We're not equal with God. Dialogue, we're equal. Discussion, we're not. So while with God, discussion, doing the Father's will, is the only means of communication with man, because there's two of us, being both a living soul and flesh. God formed man from the dust of the ground, flesh, and he breathed the breath of life into the nostrils of man, and he became a living soul. Okay, so dialogue goes with the flesh, discussion goes with the soul. Both discussion, doing the Father's will, and dialogue, doing your will or his will, are means of communication. We have both. And so here's the contrast. Discussion is objective truth. Dialogue is subjective truth. And so I'll read through these. Deductive, so we can use deductive reasoning, and inductive reasoning. Deductive goes with discussion. Inductive goes with dialogue. Belief goes with discussion. Theory goes with dialogue. Position goes with discussion. And opinion goes with dialogue. And so on and on. Right and wrong and like and lust. Right and wrong goes with discussion. And like and dislike, sort of a spectrum there. Most agree, disagree, most disagree. That goes with dialogue. Absolute, which is eternal and unchanging, goes with discussion. And that which is relative or temporal, ever subject to change, goes with dialogue. Intolerance goes with discussion. Tolerant goes with dialogue. I know, in caps, I know because I've been told, goes with discussion. You know because somebody told you. And I feel and I think, which is sense experience, goes with dialogue. They're at odds. That you can't bring one into the other without changing or usurping the authority of the one, or negating the authority of the one. Top-down discussion and equality dialogue. Fellowship is discussion and relationship. And you might have to stop and think this through, but relationship is dialogue. Cognitive is discussion. And affective feelings is dialogue. Negative, when it comes to the flesh, is discussion. In other words, you want to go do something, you can't do it because dad says you can't go out. So that's discussion. You're going to have a discussion with dad, he has a final say. Says you can't go out. And I'll use that example later on as well. And positive to the flesh, that's dialogue. See, if I can get my parents into dialogue, I can go do what I want to do. But if they hold to discussion, they have the final say. Righteousness goes with discussion. That's a virtuous person. And sensuousness goes with lasciviousness. Law and lawfulness. Those are two different parents. Paul says, I do that which I don't want to do, and I don't do that which I want to do. There's with the mind, I love the law of God, and yet there's the law of the flesh. So with the mind is discussion, right? You're thinking it through because somebody told you something and now you're evaluating it, but you're dependent on what they said. And so that's law, and lawfulness is your flesh, what you want to do. It's dialogue. Purpose and purposiveness. Now, I'm quoting here because he talked about law without lawfulness and purpose without purposiveness. And, you know, you scratch your head for a couple of weeks going, what? Well, purposiveness is your flesh. Purpose is God telling you. Law is from outside. It's telling you. Lawfulness is your feelings of the moment. And so law itself is discussion and lawfulness is dialogue. Purpose is discussion and purposiveness is dialogue. Chastisement is discussion. In other words, there's right and wrong. And so if you're wrong, you're going to be chastised. And affirmation is dialogue. You're always looking for approval in dialogue. If you don't like somebody, you just go your way and they go their way. So there's no chastening. There and then is discussion. You've been told something to the past, it's going to affect the future, that's a discussion. But dialogue is a here and now. It's how you feel in a moment. Humbling, denying, dying to yourself, that's discussion. And esteeming yourself is dialogue. Dividing upon right and wrong is discussion. In other words, it's the old 2 + 2 = 4 and cannot be any other number. That's discussion. And uniting upon self-interest or lust is dialogue. The guilty conscience is discussion, and the superego is dialogue. I know this is overkill, but it's it. This is what Kurt Lewin understood. Faith is discussion. In other words, the teacher told you 2 + 2 = 4 and cannot be any other number. You haven't experienced that. You just accept it by faith. But sight, that sense perception, is dialogue. And being told is discussion, and sense experience is dialogue. This is important because in education, the focus is now on sense experience. How do you feel? What do you think? And so dialogue has usurped the old school, which was discussion, being told. You're told something and you replicate it. Above, discussion, because dad's above you, and below, which we're all equal, is dialogue. Spirit is discussion, and flesh is dialogue. Telling you up front and seducing, telling you up front is discussion. If you do this, this will happen. And dialogue is being seduced, deceived, and manipulated. In other words, they're not telling you everything up front. It's a trap if they have an agenda. Established is discussion. Dad said, it's written. And continuously changing or situational is dialogue. Because our opinion's always changing. When it comes to behavior, and that goes on. You can go on further with that list. When it comes to behavior, when you start with discussion, the father rules, dividing between those who are doing right, blessing them, and those who are doing wrong, correcting, reproving, chastening, or casting them out. Depends upon their attitude. But when you start with dialogue, other words, we're going to start the class not with discussion, because that's what the teacher says, that's what God says, that's what the parent says. But when you start with dialogue, discussion, the father's authority is negated. They're all because all are united as one in the flesh, thinking and acting without godly restraint. See, this is what Kurt Lewin and the Marxists understood, is if we can create dialogue in the classroom, the old classroom was discussion, the teacher said. See, the workplace, the boss said. The Constitution says. See the significance of discussion? The difference between a conservative and liberal judge. A conservative judge will go to discussion. What does the Constitution say? And so his decision has to be based upon the Constitution. He doesn't change the Constitution or its meaning. Whatever's happening is being judged according to what the Constitution says. But in dialogue, that's a liberal judge. He's going to interpret the Constitution to how he feels and what he thinks. And we've seen that. President Eisenhower was asked if he ever made a mistake while he was president. He said, too. They're both sitting on the Supreme Court. Because they moved from discussion, what the Constitution said, to dialogue, how they felt, what they thought. Those of and for the world, let's see, all the to the world, lust of flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. They're not just of the world, they're also for it. So those of and for the world, when it comes to behavior, seek to make discussion, what the father says, subject to dialogue, how the children feel, in all things, negating discussion, engendering what the Bible would call so-called science, because real science is discussion. So-called science, you think you have the facts, but you don't have them all in a dialogue. Evaluating where a person is along a spectrum of discussion dialogue. So that's what's going on. You take these polls and surveys and most agree, agree, disagree, most disagree. All of that is evaluating where you are, whether you're more discussion-oriented or dialogue-oriented, whether you're not adaptable to change to whether you're adaptable to change at any given moment regarding any given situation or issue, moving you or from through experiential. In other words, getting you to invest yourself, involve yourself in going with dialogue over against discussion, going with how you feel and what you think over against what you've been told. And that's that's role-playing is the psychomotor. It's not enough to think it. It's not enough to feel it. You have to participate in doing the process. So it's experientially from discussion to dialogue. So you can be wrong. You can disobey. You can sin. You can lust after the carnal pleasures of the moment, the world stimulating, without having a guilty conscience. Because there's no guilty conscience in dialogue. The guilty conscience is in discussion. So they're able to draw, seduce you into dialoguing your opinions, how you feel, what you think, to a consensus, a feeling of oneness with others, so you can do wrong. You can disobey and you can sin. Your child can do wrong. Your child can disobey. Your child can sin. Your legislators can do wrong. They can disobey. They can sin. That is, they can lust after the carnal pleasures of the moment that the world stimulates. Look at our culture today. With your affirmation, without being judged, condemned, and cast out. See, if everybody's doing it, then it becomes the law. Since right, wrong, or discussion, or the Father's authority, or doing the Father's will, according to those of and for the world, is the definition of prejudice. See, if you insist 2 + 2 = 4 and cannot be any other number, you're prejudiced. It's a generalizing, and you'll see that. The key, Karl Marx wrote an article called The Holy Family, and it's all about the use of generalization. Because if you can generalize, then you can put everything you don't like under one word or one phrase and get rid of it. Even though you would say it's okay, it's not. See, everything is generalized today. Even healthcare is generalized. Man's reasoning ability, which comes from God, your ability to reason comes from God, is either used to reason from what you've been told, that is from the Word of God. All else when it comes to discussion deals with the creation. And that's true science. See, if you look at rocks, plants, and animals, we can have a discussion, but they're established. They're stimulus response. God created them. It's true science. So in a discussion, biologically, a man is a man, and a woman is a woman. And they're designed physically and emotionally for procreation. That's a discussion. Or reason from what you want. That is according to the impulses and urges or lusts of the moment that the world stimulates. Now, if you go to dialogue when it comes to science, then all is fair game when it comes to sexual pleasure. Look at our culture today. Whatever makes you feel good, if it feels good, just do it. Once you get on this train, there are no brakes. See, once you start down that path, nobody can say you can't do that. There's no cannot, must not, thou shalt not in dialogue. That comes from discussion. Discussion emanates from being told. See, the classroom used to be you were told. Now, how do you feel? What do you think? Dialogue from what you want. As dialogue takes over the world, and it has, in other words, it becomes progressively the only means of communication, especially when it comes to behavior. Now, you know, you meet people say, well, I like to come over to like your place, like, and let's do some games, play. That's all dialogue. I feel. What do you feel like doing? Well, I feel like. And so dialogue, as dialogue takes over the world, that is, becomes progressively the only means of communication, especially when it comes to behavior, and that's what's happened, the ability of people to carry on a true discussion, especially when it comes to the Word of God, with the Word of God having the final say, becomes more difficult, if at all possible. You cannot preach the Word of God or God's judgment upon sin, into a culture of dialogue, and it be heard. They cannot receive it. Dialogue will not allow it, is what the Apostle Paul was explaining in Romans, the first chapter, 19 through 32. He was dealing with a culture of dialogue when he said that. And so you end up with all the depravity that we're now experiencing in our culture, abomination, because it used dialogue as its means of evaluation for behavior, rejecting discussion, what the Father said. God warns us of this process. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 15 through 18. And what concord has Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. That cannot happen if you stay in dialogue, I feel and I think. It can only happen when you go to discussion with God saying the final. He has the final say. Matthew 10, verses 32 through 34. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Think not that I came into the world to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. See, he even divides the father from the son, the mother from the daughter, the mother-in-law from the daughter-in-law, and whatsoever. It's doing right and not wrong according to what the Father says. It's a discussion. In Christ, as I will explain as we go through, there was no dialogue. He came in the flesh, but not once did he speak the language of the flesh. We all have. We have discussion and dialogue. And we mingle those two. Well, this is Mao Zedong. Words and action should help to unite and not divide the people. If you go to discussion, you're going to have division. If you go to dialogue, you're going to have unity. Because the flesh, everyone on the face of the earth has lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. That's where unity is found, and it's found in dialogue. But if you go to discussion, now, if I was teaching, I had 20 students in the class from 20 different homes with 20 parents who had opposing views to one another on certain issues. See, and so I can only teach what they will agree that I can teach. I have to teach the facts. I have to teach to rules and commands. See, and so, and truth. I cannot go, I feel and I think that, you see, the children might say, well, Dad, I think I should go out, you know. No, I told you you couldn't go out. But that's the key, is if I ask your child in a classroom to defend their position, and they try to defend their position is given to them by you. That's through discussion. And so if I get them to defend their position, they have to go to dialogue. Got them. It's a trap. You're not there to say, oh, wait, no, you know, I told you this is right and that's wrong. I didn't explain the details. But now you're trying to explain the details and you can't do that because you don't have the knowledge I have. And so they're going to go to I feel and I think, the dialogue. And I've entrapped them. And so the focus is unity, because if I, all the 20 students have lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. That's what they have in common. Not of the Father, not of their fathers. It's the same structure, whether it's from the Father, Heavenly Father, or Earthly Father. It's the same structure, because Dad tells you what's right and what's wrong, and you better not do what's wrong, because author or authority means you author and enforce. You author and enforce. So if we're going to have unity, the only way I can have unity with these 20 students is to have them go, I feel and I think. And therefore we have dialogue. And therefore we have lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life when we deal with behavior. Wilford Behan, he was the director of the Tavistock Institute. It's a more professional suit oriented of the National Training Labs of America, the T groups, therapy groups, big movement in the 60s and 70s, and it continues today. It's the process. In his book, A Memory of the Future, interesting title. It's a memoir of the future. He writes that this whole agenda, the whole purpose of dialogue in the classroom, in the workplace, and a friend of mine said that they take your school board members off to a convention or conference and then come back with a lobotomy. You can't talk to them anymore. Because when they left, you could have a discussion with them. Because they've been in these meetings doing dialogue, I feel and I think, and when they come back, they have put aside discussion for dialogue, and they cannot have a discussion with you. They want you to dialogue with them, and you go, well, I can't. No, there's a higher authority than me. I'm accountable to. There's the Constitution. There's rules. There's facts. There's laws. Well, they're going to the law of their feelings. And so he writes, you have to prevent someone who knows, and he puts that in caps. Prevent someone who knows from filling the empty space. See, prevent anybody who comes in and says this is right and that's wrong from filling your thoughts, from controlling your thoughts. Satan's device is replacing, this is his method, replacing discussion, what the Father says, with dialogue, how the children feel and what they think. That's what happened in the garden. That's all he did. And he did it when it comes to defining and establishing behavior. All Satan, the master facilitator of change, the master psychotherapist, has to do is seduce you into dialoguing, I feel and I think, where discussion, what Dad said, should be taking place. All he had to do was seduce the woman in the garden in Eden into dialoguing, into basing right and wrong behavior upon her feelings of the moment, her natural inclination to touch. He that was in the environment that the tree of knowledge of good and evil was stimulating. See, discussion is what Dad says. Dialogue is what I want to do. And so once he got her to share through dialogue her desire, because she added it to the command, she added it to the statement of discussion, thereby negating discussion. Because now it's like you writing a will and somebody adds some things to it or takes parts out. It's no longer your will. It's not what you said. Therefore, what God the Father said regarding right and wrong behavior, where God the Father has the final say. But she has the final say now. In dialogue, you have the final say. In discussion, the Father has the final say. God has the final say. And so all he had to do was get her into dialogue, and she became God. When it comes to knowing right and wrong behavior, discussion is based upon doing right and no wrong according to established commands and rules, facts and truth, which you've been told. That is according to what the Father says. While dialogue is based upon your carnal desires, your feelings of the moment, that the world or the situation is stimulating. It's called stimulus response. Dialogue is based upon stimulus response, discussion upon being told. Depending on which one you turn to when it comes to behavior, defines you as a conservative or a liberal. Either walking in faith, that is by what you've been told, or walking by sight, that is by your sensuous needs, sense perception, and sense experience. Oh, where'd those words come from? Let's say Karl Marx. This is known in the Bible as lust of the flesh, sensuous need, and the lust of the eyes, sense perception, and the pride of life, sense experience. Only that which is of the world in the Bible, but Karl Marx called it only of nature. He just secularized what God has told us because God's focusing on discussion. We're a living soul. He was focusing on the flesh. When dialogue becomes the means to establishing right and wrong behavior, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, the law of the flesh becomes the law of the land. And the Bible says the people are oppressed because your soul knows from being told. The flesh by sense experience. Now, to give you a definition of discussion and dialogue, here's a quote by Bohm and Pete, Science, Order, and Creativity. They give an excellent definition of the difference between the two. In an ordinary discussion, people usually hold relatively fixed positions and argue in favor of their views, they have to say that, as they try to convince others to change. So it's fixed position. You're either right or you're wrong. Either or. For example, the Lord Jesus Christ insisted upon doing and insisting upon everyone else doing his Father's will. In John 5:30, we read Jesus saying, "I can of my own self do nothing." That's quite a bold statement from the one who was there at the creation. He was slain before the foundation of the world. And he's saying he humbled himself, took on the form of a man, and he obeyed his Father in all things commanded. I can of my own self do nothing. In other words, a discussion. He only had discussion. He's the only one who walked on the face of the earth and never went to dialogue. Never went to, I feel and I think. Even the night before the cross, he said, you know, Dad, I'd rather not go here. But nevertheless, thy will be done. So he said, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I've been told, I judge. And my judgment is just because I seek not my will. See, it's not I feel and I think, but the will of the Father which has sent me. It's pure discussion. In Matthew 12:50, for whosoever shall do the will of my Father, because the Father tells you, That's how God works. He tells you, which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. So he's given us the same mandate. In a discussion, the Father has the final say. Your position is, and therefore your thoughts and actions are dependent upon what the Father says. In dialogue, on the other hand, you have to suspend, and I'll get to that word, that's an important word, up as upon a cross, any established command, rule, fact, or truth, that is what the Father says, that divides you from others in order for you to build relationship with them and them to build relationship with you, because dialogue is relationship oriented. Discussion is fellowship. We fellowship around what the Father says, but we dialogue about around what we want. This is built on your and their, the other person's, common self-interest or lust. And the Bible calls that sand. This is the difference between discussion and dialogue. Matthew 7, 23 through 39. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, here it is, you're told that's a discussion, and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, in other words, the dialoguing, shall be likened to a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. Because see, dialogue is all over the place. Everybody's entitled to their opinion. And the rain descendeth, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. And here's the difference. For he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. Because the scribes, all of the dialogue people, these were the murmurers in the wilderness. I feel, I think. I don't feel like you're leading us right. I don't think you should be in leadership. While discussion divides upon right, wrong, dialogue unites upon what people have in common. In other words, their lust for pleasure. We all have that. We get up in the morning, we want to have a good day, which includes affirmation from others. We like people to like us. We don't get up in the morning and say, I want to have a painful day and I want everybody to hate me. That's our nature. And the resentment towards restraint, that is, that anything that gets in the way, that inhibits or blocks pleasure. We don't like that. That's our natural carnal nature. That's why we go to dialogue. In essence, dialogue divides between those who justify or affirm lust, approving them, while rejecting those insisting upon doing right and not wrong according to established commands, rules, facts, and truth. In other words, doing the Father's will, which inhibits or blocks the praxis of lust. You have to do the Father's will, you can't do what you want. If you have to go to discussion, what Dad says, he has a final say, you can't do what you want. You want to go to dialogue, because in dialogue, you can do what you want. This whole thing, all of psychology, all of our culture today is dialogue. How do you feel? What do you think? The shallow mentality that permeates our culture. The Bible says they cannot endure sound doctrine. Endure means you have to think. Now, Bohm and Pete in Science, Order, and Creativity give us a definition of dialogue. A dialogue is essentially a conversation between equals. See, now, in a discussion, it's top-down. Dad says, in dialogue, we're equal. That's important to understand. The spirit of dialogue, and there's a spirit. And I'm going to quote Karl Marx in a little bit. And he talks about spirit. The spirit of dialogue is, in short, the ability to hold many points of view. Remember, discussion is you have a point of view and you hold to it. You're trying to convince others that that position is right. But here in dialogue, these many points of view in suspension. along with a primary interest in creating common meaning. What's the common meaning? The lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. What we all have in common. What all the 20 students have in common. Not what divides them. Their father's standards. Their practice of discussion at home, where dad has the final say, is what divides. And so the only way I can have unity in this class of 20 students is to get them to suspend and hear me. This is spiritually what's going on. They have to suspend Christ on the cross because Christ never, ever went to dialogue. And for them to find common meaning, they have to go to dialogue and they have to put Christ on the cross. And they're going to say, well, I didn't do that. Yes, you did. Well, no, I still believed him. No, you didn't. If you're not willing to confess him before those in the world, and that's what you just did. For the sake of relationship, you put Christ on the cross. For the sake of approval of men, you put Christ on the cross. Well, no, I didn't. I was going to bring him up later. No, your witness is now. Jesus told the woman at the well, she was wrong three times. He did it nice. He didn't do it to destroy her. He didn't do it out of hate. He did it that she might repent. And you say, well, no, later on I'll get around to telling them about the Lord. No, your witness is now because they said something wrong and you didn't address it. And so in their mind, they're okay. It's okay. And your silence in the courts, they know silence is consent. That's the trickery of moving you from discussion, what dad says, to dialogue. Protestantism was, thou dost protest too much. You keep holding to what dad says. You never give up. Give us a break. Here come the judge. Don't get him started. And so if I get your child or your legislator in this meeting, in the group grade, and I get them to suspend whatever you taught them as a parent, I have changed them. The lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is the outcome. When you want to do what you want, you go to dialogue. You go to I feel and I think, making your opinion the basis for determining right and wrong behavior. That's what happened in the garden. When you want to do what is right and not wrong, what the Father says, you go to discussion where the Father has a final say, because I said so. Or Jesus in the temptations, it is written. That's all he did. He went to discussion. Notice after a while, the devil left. He couldn't get anywhere. Jesus wouldn't go into dialogue. He never went, I feel, I think. Whether it is a child, a parent, an educator, an employer, or an employed, a legislator, a leader, a judge, or a minister, and on, is all the same. With discussion holding those under authority accountable to the commands, rules, and facts and truth that they have been told, and dialogue liberating them from the commands, rules, facts, and truth that they have been told, so they can do what they want without having a guilty conscience, because there's no guilty conscience in the superego. It's in the discussion. Excuse me, guilty conscience in dialogue. I got ahead because the superego is found in the dialogue, not the guilty conscience. The superego is approval of others. It's social. The guilty conscience is under the Father. It's in discussion. So they can do whatever they want without having a guilty conscience, as well as not being held accountable, being judged, condemned, cast out for their carnal thoughts and carnal actions. See, if we all go to dialogue, then you can't say, you know, get out of here. Everybody's entitled to their opinion. Well, we're going to stop there, and then I'm going to get into the quotes by the social engineers.